This is the most wonderful time of the year in my eyes sometimes. You know, there's just a little over a week till Christmas. I know some people have different views on this, but to me, it's one of the most beautiful times of the year. We know Christmas Day is almost about a week away. So many are waiting with anticipation to receive and to open those gifts that they see under the tree. You look in a child's face, you know what I'm talking about. Anticipation right now to see what you're going to get. And the sad part is sometimes that after the gifts are open, you know what, there's kind of like a letdown. Is there not? And it may not be because you don't get what you want, but all that time you're anticipating, opening up that gift to see what's in there, and once the last gift is open, you're kind of like, oh man, some people are like, this thing's kind of like a letdown. The excitement's going to both. And you know how children are when they do this. If you got a child, I remember back whenever I was a kid, and maybe have two or three gifts underneath there, and I get that one done, I go to the next one, and then I go to the next one. It'd be what I'd want, but, oh, is that it? Is that what, you know, is that all of it? You know, I get everything that I asked for. But, you know, that anticipation's going. But I want to tell you this morning of a gift that was given by God, and brothers and sisters, this gift also by Him and through Him, we have gifts that we can open up every day of our life. And understand this, that gift will take a lifetime to open. Amen? Amen. It will take a lifetime to open. You know what? No matter what, it is the greatest gift that was ever given. Amen? The greatest gift that was ever given was our Lord and Savior. Let's read the scripture in Luke, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angel were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us all. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we come again, Father, with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. We want to thank you this morning for your precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you gave so many years ago, Father. And Father, we want to thank you that how he blesses us still to this day. And Father, that through him and by him, Father, we can have these gifts that you've given us each and every day of our life. And Jesus, we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. I want you to know that whenever he was born in Bethlehem, I want you to know that one of the gifts that he can give us, and he gives us every day of our life, is rest. Do you understand that? Matthew 11:28 says, Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus gives us the gift of rest. Because why? Because he is a burden bearer. The Christ that I accepted into my heart so many years ago, I want you to know, he is a burden bearer to those that are willing to accept him. Whenever God gives the gift to his Son on that first Christmas night, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, whenever we accept Him as our personal Savior, praise God, He can give us rest in our lives. And I want you to, Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Elijah the prophet, saying himself, He took our infirmities and He bore our sicknesses. Amen. I want you to know that the God that I serve is able to take the burdens that you and I have in our lives. If we are able and willing to give them unto Him, praise God, He will take them and He will give us rest in our hearts and our minds. That little baby, that great gift that was given so many years ago, I want you to know it is there for us today. He's still there. He sits on the right hand of God. He sits there to give us peace. He sits there to give us rest. Amen. He does that. Isaiah 53:4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I want you to know that to Jesus Christ, the gift that was given, I want you to know that in all the sorrows that you have in your life, all the griefs that you've had in your life, if you are just willing to give them over to Him completely without taking none of them back, He is a burden bearer. He is one that will take those from us. He will do that. Praise God. Also, I want you to know something. He gives us the gift of living water in our lives. Do you understand that? Look at John 4:13-14. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Do you understand? Shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Well, I'll tell you what, that gift that was given us, praise God, that whenever Jesus came into life, He promised us that He would give us living water. And I want you to know, the day that I accepted Him as my personal Savior, I received that living water that flows through my veins today. Amen? Did you ever recall a gift that you got that you ended up taking it back for whatever reason? Did you ever think about that? Oh yeah, I'm sure there has been. It may be not the right size. Maybe it wasn't the right color. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. Maybe you just took it back because you just didn't need it or whatever the thing was. But I want you to know, whenever the gift of the living water comes in your life, I want you to know you don't want to give it back, do you? Praise God, I tell you, I've never, ever in my life, never wanted to give it back. Luke 6:20, blessed are ye that hunger, for now ye shall be filled. And it says in Psalm 23, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And it goes on to say in Psalm 107, he that satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, shall in Psalms 36:8, I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but listen, this all goes to it. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of His pleasure. This gift is the right size. It's the right color. It's whatever. I'll tell you what, when you accept Jesus Christ and the water of life flows through your veins, I want you to know this morning that it's right just for you. Amen? Amen. Also, He gives us the bread of life, does He not? That's a gift that He gives us. John 6:48-51, I am that bread of life. That's what He says. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Ever, amen. Whenever Jesus Christ come into this world, I want you to know the gift that we can have each and every day is the gift of eternal life and the gift to have an abundant life as we live down here. Not everything that you want, praise God, but abundant life means everything spiritually that you would ever need in your life. That's what He's telling us about. Jesus said manna came down from heaven. It came down and it was given, but it did not give eternal life. But when Jesus came down and gave His body on the cross, I want you to know it gave eternal life for all of us. Amen. If you exercise our faith in Jesus, the bread of life, we can live forever. We can do that. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the gift of living water and the bread of life was given to all. I'll tell you, this right here is a really good one, the gift of peace. And He gives that to us also. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, But I give it unto you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want you to understand something. Friday, and you probably have talked about this at great length up here this morning. And I thought, and the Lord, I thought, Lord, I said, I don't want to preach on this right now. I want to give it over time. But what happened at that school up there? I want you to know, when I heard about what happened at that school, I'll tell you, the foundations of my peace were shaken a little bit right then and there. I want you to know, my thoughts went to those poor families up there and everything that they had to go through, especially this time of year. My thought went to all those families who lost loved ones. My thoughts immediately come to my family and my grandchildren and your grandchildren and your family and your sons and your daughters. My thoughts went to those teachers at our school down here that are in my church, like Melinda and Brenda and Patty and all the helpers, like Mary and all of my thoughts and my prayers immediately. I hope you felt me praying for you, because I'm going to tell you what. My eyes were filled with tears. And I got down on my knees and I cried. You can ask my wife when I got home. I was not right, because the foundation of what I suffered, I tell you, I could not understand. And you know what? My daughter called me, and we were talking, and she said, you know what, Dad? She said, why did not God kill him in a car wreck before he got there? And you know, all these questions go through everybody's mind. And you can say, well, you know, God is this and God's that. But you know what? I understand this. I want you to understand this morning. My Bible tells me that in the last days, it is going to wax worse and worse. And I want you to know, it's because of sin that abounds in this world, tragedy is going to continue to happen in this world. The innocent are going to suffer. They're going to do that. I want you to understand that this morning. But I want you to know, the only real peace that we have is through that gift that was given on that Christmas night. The only gift, John 16:30, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. You get that. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to tell you something. I tell you, my peace was shaken Friday. I want you to know that. My heart went out. I'm going to be the first to admit it. I was just so sad. You said, well, Dave, you didn't know anything. No, I didn't know, but I want you to know something. I knew just the type. I knew what they were, because I'm a grandparent. I know I've got kids and grandkids, and you do too. And I knew just exactly what they was going through. Just exactly with whatever little bit I could muster with what those people was going through. So how can we find peace in this world of sin and wickedness, the unfathomable tragedy that happened up there? How can we find peace through all that? This mixed up crazy world. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. That is the only way. That is the only way as Christians. The only way that we can have any kind of peace. We've got to stay focused on Jesus Christ. And we've got to understand that the God that we serve, all things, listen to me, work to good to them that love the Lord. I pray that there's people up there that know Jesus. I pray that this is used for His glory and His honor. I pray that. And this is true. I've listened to a lot of stuff, and I've read a lot of stuff. I want you to understand this. In this world we live in, as it waxes worse and worse, you know what? We take God out of our schools. We say things are right that are wrong in the Bible. We as a society, it seems like love violence. You go to these movies and stuff that they put out there are all about violence, and a lot of them are all about violence and shooting. And then we wonder, as a country, and we're shell-shocked whenever this happens, how can we be when, as a society, we're just pushing it right down the throats of people? Amen. I got to get on from this. I'm going to be preaching about that. When Christ was born, the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's the God that I serve. That's the Jesus that I serve. He said, peace, goodwill toward men. I want you, what a wonderful gift that we have been given through Jesus Christ. And every day, I'll tell you something else. He gives us eternal life. In John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. I want you to know, the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ, we have a better place to go. I'm not going to worry about this old world anymore once I'm out of here. I'm not going to worry about what they do. I just want to prepare you. I want to prepare my people for what this world's about and to listen. You're going to face tragedy. There's going to be more of this stuff happen. But we have got to put our trust and our hope in Jesus. And one of these days, if we do, we're going to a place where there's never going to be another shooting, folks. There's never going to be another death. I want you to understand there's no graves in heaven. There's not one. There's not one up there. We're going to a place that's like that. Praise God. Romans 6:28, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This old world offers death. That's all that they have to offer. My Lord and Savior offers eternal life. And if you do not know it, I beg you, what better time to come and to get that? Praise God. You know, sin is strong. It is deceptive. It has a strong deceptive power. Sin is powerful in its ability to hold on to any ground that it has gained. Do we understand that also? If sin is in your life, I tell you, it takes the power of Jesus Christ to get it out of there, because once it gets the high ground, sin doesn't want to give up. It doesn't want to do that. No one has any hope of living above sin without the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Amen? None of us have that. None of us have that power to do that without the Holy Spirit in our life. That's why the gift of God gave us some 2,000 years ago, and it is so important to people today. It is so important. Through Him, we have a better place to go. Amen? We have that. When baby Jesus came, He gave it all for us. Whenever He came, He'd give everything that we needed. God give His Son, and Jesus gives it to us if we accept Him as a personal Savior. It was an instant gift. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive Him, to them He give power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That little baby, whenever we accept Him, we become sons of God. We become what He wants us to be. When we accept, you have an open gift to give it any time that you want. It's wrapped. It was wrapped. And I want you to tell you, you know something? Remember the Bible says it was wrapped in swaddling clothes? And it's just kind of like a symbol of it. You know what? Whenever we have a lifetime to unwrap Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? We have it. We have that. When Jesus was born, He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And in a sense, we unwrap Him every day of our life if we pray and ask God to come into our lives daily. We can unwrap it. Not just by one day a year gift. Every day we can have that gift of life. I want you to know, Christmas comes once a year. Birthdays come once a year. And you know, there's other occasions. We can wrap them gifts up and that's done. But I want you to know something. When Jesus Christ is in our heart, we can have Him day, after night, after hour, after minute. We can have Him in our life no matter what the situation is. I want you to know we can have Him, have life more abundantly through Him. Amen. Every day. Give us, I like Christmas presents. We just come once a year. They're underneath that tree and they're going, right? They're going. When I think about it, it gets better than, you know what? When I think to myself that I've got a good blessing, when I think to myself, I've seen something in the Bible, Randy, that really blesses me. You know what happens? It isn't too much longer. God blows me away again. Amen. And He could do the same with you. I want you to know something. If you think you got it all, you ain't even started yet. You got a lifetime to unwrap the Word of God. You got a lifetime to dig into the Spirit of God. If you're willing and able to do that, I want you to know it's just like taking one layer of that paper off at a time of that gift. And very slowly, it may take you forever to do it, but praise God, when He comes in and He starts blessing you beyond measure, I want you to know it could be a lifetime experience. It has been for me. I want you to know. I'll get into this Word of God sometimes, and I don't care how long I've been on it, and something, God will just show something to me out of the Word, and I say, oh, praise God, I didn't know that, God. And He said, it's there, and He just blows me away again. Amen. That's the kind of God can do that. Listen, like the gifts of peace, joy, love, faith, kindness, gentleness, meekness, understanding, the gift of revelation, and on and on and on I could go. Paul knew this. Paul knew that we can get Jesus, and it would take a lifetime to unwrap it. Look what he says in Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed not, as in my presence, but now much more in my absence, listen to what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he tells us. Listen, that is a daily work. That's a daily walk. And we can learn from it and run rapid each and every day if we work it out in ourselves each and every day. I beg you to do that. He's not saying that salvation required work. Salvation doesn't. Salvation is free. What he's saying is that after salvation, there's so much of God's gifts that he wants to give us. If we'd take a lifetime to unwrap them, if we're willing to dig for them, we've got to be willing. We've got to be willing. It's also a gift that doesn't. It doesn't cost you a thing. It doesn't cost you a thing. The gift doesn't cost you a thing. But listen, it has enormous value, does it not? Listen, for 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift that was given back whenever he was born in Bethlehem. Thank God for that gift. You know what? You couldn't buy it if you tried. You could not buy salvation if you tried. But I want you to tell you, there's not a gift that has ever been given that is more enormous in price than the one that God gave his son to do for us. Nothing. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's why it is free. That's why it cost. That's why it cost. It cost God his son, and it cost his precious blood. Why? Because he didn't want man to have anything to do with it. Man messes a lot of stuff up. And I want you to know salvation's free. But you know, thanks be unto God for his gift. Who can begin to put a price on that? The shepherds realized the enormity of that gift. Look what they said in Luke 2:20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and as it was told them. In verse 20 of that Luke, I want you to know, the shepherds realized that it was a great gift that was given. And you know what they did? They went praising and glorifying God for the gift. And I want you to know this morning, we should be praising and glorifying God for the gift of his son in our lives each and every day that we go out amongst them. Should we not? The wise men also knew. I preached about them. They brought gifts that couldn't even comprehend the gift that God had given. They could not do it. You see what gift you compare to? You see what gift can compare to? You're never dying. You're never going to die. Amen. You're never going to suffer again. There's going to be no crying. You're never going to feel pain again. Can you tell me what that gift would be worth to you? Tell me. How much would you pay? Could you come up with enough money to pay for a gift like that? But yet it's totally free if you're willing to accept it. Amen. We're not to keep this gift in it. We're not to keep this gift, right? How many of you, when you get a gift that you like on Christmas morning and you open it up and it's something, man, I really wanted this for a long time, well, turn right around and give it away. Huh? I didn't see no hands go up. You wouldn't, would you? No. You know what? God give us the gift of Jesus Christ, and he wants us to give it away. Acts 20:35, and I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Amen. That scripture, by the way, you're not going to find it where Jesus said it in the New Testament anywhere. It's a fit, but that's just one of them scriptures where he didn't say it. It's one of the things where he meant it, and he'd said it to them, and they wrote it down, by the way. But it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I want you to know, whenever we get Jesus Christ in our hearts, whenever we have him, I want you to know, we have got to be willing to give it out. We've got to be willing to let other people know that that gift is for them also, right? The shepherds realized that also in 2:17 and 18. What did they do there? And it said, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them by the shepherds. You know, you ask yourself, why did he go to those shepherds? That right there was a very low class of people in those people's eyes back then. They were very low class. They were out with their sheep all the time, didn't come in for anything. They were probably smelly. They were probably this and probably that. But you know what? God said that he sent his angels and the heavenly host to give the message of Christ being born to that low class of people. Why? Because God cares for everyone. He cares for everyone. I don't care what kind of situation you are in your life. He loves you. Share the gift. The gift can enrich the lives of everyone it touches, right? That gift can do that. I have not found one truly born-again person that I've ever talked to, and you can raise your hand if you disagree with me here this morning, that has ever said when they give their life to Jesus, they wish they hadn't done it? Raise your hand. I'm going to tell you what, I've never in my life ever felt that. And I've talked to a lot of people. They've always said, I don't care if it's even one that's even went back out into the world a little bit. They knew it was the best decision that they've ever made in their life. And I want you to know it's the best decision that you could ever make in your life. I want you to know that. Sure. But why? Because God's gift of Jesus, I'll tell you what, enriches the lives of those people that it touches. That's why. Whenever Jesus Christ goes into your heart, it'll enrich your life. It'll make your life better. It did mine. It changed me 100%. And that's what it did to the shepherd. Such is the same response to all those who embrace this gift. We have to embrace it. That gift can walk. That gift can walk, talk to you every day. It can do that if we're just like it. Don't you ever be alone. You'll never have to be alone again. Never. Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, He it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Can I promise you that? I want you to know something this morning. You can call me on the phone, and I told you this before. I can pray for you, but I can't be with you 24/7. But praise God, I know somebody that can. I know somebody that can. I know somebody that whenever you're in your darkest hour, and my cell phone, you can't get through to me, or you can't get through to somebody else in the church because they're either out of their cell phones, not in an area we can. You can go to Jesus Christ. You can go to God. And I'll tell you what, He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He'll never do that. Before the gift, He had no hope. Before this gift, we had no hope. We had nothing to look forward to, nothing to live for. But after Jesus Christ came into our heart, listen, 1 Corinthians 59, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Do you understand that? If our only hope is because we serve Christ right now, and there's nothing after this, we're of all men most miserable because we have nothing to look forward to. I have something to look forward to, folks. And so can you, because of that gift that Jesus Christ gave us. I know a lot of us can't wait to unwrap those gifts on Christmas. But I want to remind everyone that unwrapping the most precious gift of all is not just done one day a year. Amen? Unwrapping that gift takes a daily effort. It takes prayer. It takes reading God's Word. It takes so many things that we need to do. We need to be a daily walk with Him. And if we have a daily walk with Him, I want you to know those gifts are all ours to have. There's so many more I could mention. So much more that I could mention that the Holy Spirit gives us and He wants us to have. We have to dig into it. We've got to want what God wants from us. We've got to want it. So this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you know that gift? Do you know it? Do you know it personally in your heart this morning? Do you know it? If you don't, if they come and get a song, they come up here and get a song this morning. I want you to come. Make yourself up this way. Don't let the devil lie to you anymore. Don't let him tell you that it's not worth it. Don't let him tell you that it's all a bunch of fake stuff. Don't let him tell you that. Come to this altar this morning.